Jagadatha Sami, Gaja Omagadati Vilanda Shagaranjana, Shlakaya Chakshuram Ninitam Yenatasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, first we'll talk about what's called the ontological position of Advaitacharya. Ontological position means who he is, basically. What his nature is, and what his relationship to Krishna. So Advaitacharya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is described as an incarnation of Mahavishnu, and also Sada Shiva, which is very interesting. Of course, we understand that Shiva, within this material world, is an expansion of Krishna meant to deal with the material energy. I mean, it's not the same as Krishna. Actually, in one sense, one and different from Krishna simultaneously. And the example given in the Brahma Samhita is that there's actually two examples. Is one is like you have milk, and then from milk you get yogurt. You understand? But the yogurt can't become milk. It only goes in one direction. Another example in the Brahma Samhita is there's one candle and it lights other candles. Anyway. So Shiva is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's considered to be the best servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, the original Shiva in the spiritual world is called Sada Shiva, who is Vishnu Tattva. And he has a place in the spiritual world. Sada Shiva. Sada means, of course, eternal. So Sada Shiva. And so that's the Vishnu Tattva expansion from whom Advaitacharya comes. Everyone understands that? So he's not the, let's say, a partial or non-Vishnu. He's Vishnu Tattva. Amongst the members of the Panchatattva, you have Advaitacharya, Lord Nityananda, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Vishnu Tattva. And then Shakti Tattva is Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And then you have Jiva Tattva, who is Srivas Thakur. Everyone understands that? That's the Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadha, Srivasati Gaur, Bhaktivinoda. Anyway, so it's also said that in Braj, in the Braj pastimes, and this is for the Gauraganadesh, from the Gauraganadesh Deepika, as I said, we're going to be quoting or citing some sources about Advaitacharya, that in Braj, he actually appears as a coward boy and dances along with Krishna. And of course, we understand Shiva also appears as Gopishvara Mahadev, which is, he's a gopi, and he gets a chance to enter and see the rasa dance. Anyway, so let's see, a little bit more. Tattva, this is a quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Mahavishnu is the master of the universe, which he creates through the power of Maya. Advaitacharya is the incarnation of his form of the Lord. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, first portion, Adi Leela. First chapter, text 12 to 13. Advaitacharya is an incarnation of the form of the Lord. He is known as Advaita because he is none other than Hari. As the Acharya, he is the preceptor. That means the teacher of devotion. So that's from the Chaitanya. Another quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita is that Advaitacharya is also known as Kama Laksha. Everyone knows what Kama Laksha means? Lotus eyes. And then also known as Mangala, which means appearance. He is auspicious by his appearance. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, says he's the foremost of the Vaishnavas and most fortunate of other people. He's the chief amongst the gurus in knowledge, devotion, and renunciation. So these are quotes from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Advaitacharya appeared in a village called Navagrama. And his father's name was Kubera Pandit, who was, of course, a Brahmin with that name. And his Kubera Pandit's wife was Navadevi. And he appeared on the seventh day of the waxing moon, which is today. And his father was a devotee of Lord Nrsingadev. And he was also very devoted to Krishna. And his wife, of course, was very faithful and devoted too. Let's see. And of course he had Advaitacharya when he was very, very old. So it describes here in the Bhakti Ratnakara that what pious works did this Brahmin do in his old age that he's been blessed with such a jewel of a son? So there's some information coming from Janava Mata's disciple, Nityananda Das, who wrote the Prema Vilasa, that Advaita's birthplace is also in Shantipur. So anyway, there's some differences of opinion there. And in the Advaita Vilas, it is written that the Lord remained on this earth for a century and a quarter, performing unlimited pastimes. Century and a quarter means 125 years he stayed on this planet for. So when his father and mother disappeared, Advaitacharya went to Gaya to perform the rituals of mourning for his parents. And that's, of course, where the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu are in Gaya. Bodhicitta, of course, also went there, and there he met Ishwarapuri, his spiritual master, and took initiation. Then he came to Vrindavan, and then he was unable to understand through his meditation that Krishna would appear very soon in Navadvip. Then he went to Mathila, where he met the poet Vidyapati, very famous Vaishnava poet. Then he went to Shantipur, which is near Navadvip. And Advaitacharya had two wives. One was named Sri, and the other one was named Bhu. Of course, Sri was Sita Devi. Yogamaya. Yogamaya took the form of Advaita's wife Sita, and Sri is her Prakash expansion. So he lived in two places, in Shantipur and also in Navadvip in Mayapur. And Advaita Bhavan is very close to Srivast Thakur's place, actually right next to Srivast Thakur's place and right near where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So, let's see, at the same time, about the same time, Madhavendra Puri had a dream in which Gopal commanded him to get sandalwood paste. We all know that story of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Gopal asked Madhavendra Puri to get sandalwood paste, and then he went all the way to Jagannath Puri to get the sandalwood paste, and on the way back he stopped at the Shira Chora Gopinath temple, and he applied the sandalwood paste on the deity there, because Gopal had appeared to him in the dream, telling him that if you apply the sandalwood on Shira Chora Gopinath, then it'll be the same as applying it on me. Anyway, so while he was going back from Puri, he took the road through western Bengal, and then he stopped at Advaita's house in Shantipur. And so Advaitacharya at that time became convinced to accept Madhavendra Puri as his guru when he saw his devotional service. So in other words, Madhavendra Puri initiated Advaitacharya. And of course, Madhavendra Puri's disciple, Ishwarapuri, was the guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Advaitacharya also was considered to be at least the external cause of the Lord's advent. Of course, there's many causes of the Lord's advent. The internal cause is that the Lord wanted to understand the love that Radharani felt for him. He wanted to see himself from her perspective and appreciate his own attractiveness from Radharani's perspective. But the exoteric, the external reason for the Lord's advent, is that he came, of course, to save the fallen souls. But Advaitacharya was very concerned with the souls of Kali Yuga, and he was imploring the Lord to appear. And this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll read the quote. He constantly offered water from the Ganges and Tulsi Mandiris while meditating on the Lord's lotus feet, and at the same time calling to Krishna with loud roars. This is the way that caused Krishna to descend. That's the chief reason that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became incarnate on this earth. He who is the bridge of justice descends at the wish of the devotees. So of course, before the Lord's advent, right before Krishna was born as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaitacharya and Sita Devi, his wife, came to Navadvip, and it's described that Advaitacharya he circumambulated Sita Devi and even smeared some sandalwood pulp on her womb before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and he offered obeisances to Sita Devi, and everyone was shocked to see this. So, let's see, other stories. Oh yes, before Lord Chaitanya, another story is about before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parents, Sachimata, had another son that was named Vishwarupa, who was considered an incarnation of Balaram and actually partial expansion of Nityananda. And Vishwarupa used to associate with Advaitacharya all the time. And because of that, he became very attached to devotional service. Of course, this is his innate position, innate situation. And then ultimately, when he heard his parents discussing the plans to get him married, he just like ran away in the middle of the night because he didn't want to get married. So Sachimata blamed Advaitacharya for her son's taking sannyas. And she actually said such things about Advaitacharya, saying that some people call him Advaita, which means non-dual, and I call him Dvaita, which means dual, but she was referring to someone who was tricky or two-faced. In other words, Advaitacharya is being tricky with my children, and he's causing, or has caused my son to take sannyas. So she became, in Lord Chaitanya's estimate, she became a little offensive towards Advaitacharya. So later on, when Lord Chaitanya was giving love of God to everybody, the devotees asked Lord Chaitanya, are you going to give love of God to Sachimata? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no. She has committed an offense against Advaitacharya. And so when the devotees heard that, they were just like shocked. And ultimately, she went to Advaitacharya's feet and touched Advaitacharya's feet, and she got love of God. So that was a story that illustrates how important it is to be very, very careful when dealing with Vaishnavas. Even if you're the mother of God. You know, sometimes we think because I am a devotee of the Hare Krishna movement, I can offend Vaishnavas here in Braj. But if you do that, then you will lose your bhakti. If you offend anyone in Braj, even those who are apparently inimical or apparently trying to ask you for money, then you will actually lose your bhakti. Anyway, so that's the story of Vishwarupa's renunciation. When Lord Chaitanya, here's an interesting story. Lord Chaitanya continually was repeating the words Nara, Nara, revealing that Advaitacharya had caused him to descend. And Advaitacharya actually one time tested, let's see, where's the story here? He tested Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He tested Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by hiding in this devotee Nandanacharya's house. And he told everyone not to tell Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to see through this plan. And he said, go get Advaitacharya in Nandanacharya's house. And then Lord Chaitanya revealed that he was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead by being omniscient. And Advaitacharya offered obeisances to Lord Chaitanya and recited this wonderful prayer that we all chant, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Govramana Taya Cha Jagadataya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. That means I pay my obeisances to Krishna Govinda, the Lord of the Brahminical Society, to him who is the source of the cows and the Brahmin's welfare, and who is the source of the entire universe's well-being. Anyway, many prayers were offered. Of course, Advaitacharya had an interesting relationship with Lord Nityananda. Even though they were both Vishnu Tattva, they would joke with each other sometimes. And when Lord Nityananda would come to take prasadam at Advaitacharya's house with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda would say that I was hoping to break my fast today, but I've not received not even a morsel. Not even a small amount. And at Dvaitacharya would say to Lord Nityananda, who asked you to come here, you reject Paramahamsa? And then Lord Nityananda would throw his rice, you know, in the ground and in the air, and some of it would hit Dvaitacharya, and Dvaitacharya would start dancing in ecstasy, saying, look, now I've become crazy by being hit by the rice, the remnant rice by this reject Paramahamsa. And in this way, there were many like joking pastimes between Dvaitacharya and Lord Nityananda. When they were in Jagannath Puri, sometimes they would be doing these water sports, splashing each other. And then Dvaitacharya was splashed by Lord Nityananda, and then Dvaitacharya got so angry at that point. But it says that one should not take sides in the dispute between these two great personalities. This is a pastime. Anyway. And also, Dvaitacharya had many pastimes with Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur actually was living with Dvaitacharya before he joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Dvaitacharya did something very special with Haridas Thakur. He gave him the offerings during the Pinda ceremony. The Pinda ceremony is performed when you're commemorating the disappearance celebration or anniversary of a family member, particularly your father or mother or other relatives. So during that time, you're supposed to give what's called a Shraddha plate. A Shraddha is the ceremony. Shraddha, of course, means faith. But you're supposed to give that plate to the best of the brahmanas. And so Dvaitacharya gave that plate to Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur was amazed and said, you're going to be actually criticized for this. And Dvaitacharya said, don't be afraid. I shall only do what is accepted in Shastra. If you eat, it is as if 10 million brahmanas have eaten. After saying these words, he gave the Shraddha plate to Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur would unfailingly chant 300,000 names of Krishna every day. So Dvaitacharya honored him by giving him the Shraddha plate. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela in the 10th chapter. So Dvaitacharya had 6 sons. And it's interesting that 3 of these sons were devotees of the Lord and 3 were not devotees of the Lord. So it's described that he actually rejected the 3 sons who were not devotees of the Lord. And those who were not devotees were called Balaram, Swarup, and Jagadish. In fact, they had spiritual names. So what that indicates that even though one may be a great Vaishnava, it's not that one's children will necessarily be devotees. It was interesting. Because everyone has free will. And there's 2 factors that determine whether someone will be a devotee. One is nature, and the other one is nurture. Nature means what they're born with, but nurture means what happens later on, what association they pick. For example, Lord Krishna had a son with the earth planet, Bhoma, and that Bhoma later on became a demon. His name was Bhomasura, and Krishna had to personally kill him. That's how bad it became. Anyway, so the good sons of Dvaitacharya were Jyotananda, Shri Krishna Mishra, and Gopal. So, let's see, another story. Oh yeah, this is a very interesting story. Dvaitacharya wanted to actually have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastise him, because continually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offering respects to Dvaitacharya. So Dvaitacharya came up with this plan to teach this shastra called the Yoga Vasishta. And in this shastra, the Lord's service is not actually recommended. So Dvaitacharya was teaching this imperfect, let's say, philosophically incorrect shastra, the Yoga Vasishta. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he got so angry he took Lord Nityananda and they walked all the way to Shantipur, And when they came to Shantipur, to Lord Dwaita's house, they grabbed, or at least Lord Chaitanya grabbed Dwaitacharya and started beating him up and pummeling him with his fists. And Sita Devi, Dwaitacharya's wife, was saying, "You're going to kill the old man." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I don't care. He's teaching bogus philosophy." And then Dwaitacharya started dancing, saying, "Finally he has chastised me." So he was very happy at that point. So that's the time. And then Lord Chaitanya stopped hitting him. So we told that story. So Dwaitacharya would also go to Nilachal, Jagannath Puri, every year when the devotees went. And he would spend 4 months with the devotees with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That story I don't tell. Oh yeah. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got ready to leave this world, Dwaitacharya first sent him a message. This is very, very interesting. Just like Dwaitacharya was the cause of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, he was also the cause of Lord Chaitanya's leaving this world. So he sent Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a riddle. A riddle means it's really hard to understand what the person is saying. So this riddle is as follows. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, chapter 19, 19-21 text. "Tell the Lord that I pay him a million obeisances, and I humbly submit to him the following. Tell the madman that everyone has gone crazy. Tell the madman that they are no longer selling rice in the market. Tell the madman that crazies are no longer good for anything. Tell the madman that this is what the madman said." I'll read that again. It's really interesting. "Tell the Lord," this is a riddle that was taken to the Lord from a Dwaitacharya. Dwaitacharya wasn't there to tell him it directly, but it was a message. "Tell the Lord that I pay him a million obeisances, and I humbly submit to him the following. Tell the madman that everyone has gone mad. Tell the madman they are no longer selling rice in the market. Tell the madman that the crazies are no longer good for anything. Tell the madman that this is what the madman said." So this is explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. "Tell Mahaprabhu that everyone has become intoxicated with love for Krishna, so in the marketplace of love, no one is buying the rice of Krishna Prema any longer. Tell Mahaprabhu that the crazies are so intoxicated with love that they no longer are involved in their material duties. Tell Mahaprabhu that Advaita said this in a state of complete intoxication of Prema. In short, the message was that the purpose for which Mahaprabhu had been called to earth by Advaita had been completed. Now the Lord may do as he wills," which means leaving this world. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also wrote several poems glorying Advaita. One of the poems is Advaita Dwadasha Namastotra. Dwadasa means 12. So the 12 stotras or verses in glorification of Advaita. Advaita Ashtakam, 8 verses. And Advaita Ashtara Shata Nama, that means like 1,000 verses. Asatara Shata Nama Stotra, Advaitacharya. So Advaitacharya, the avatar of Mahavishnu, appeared in this world on the 7th day of the waxing moon in the month of Magh. This titi is known as, that's today, Advaita Saptami. Saptami means 7. Okay, that's all the information. We don't have any information about how Advaitacharya left this world. So I know that would be a natural question some of you may ask. So any questions?
Do you say that Dwaitacharya composed Namo
Brahmanya Yoga? No, he didn't compose it.
He was just quoted.
He quoted it in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wasn't the one who composed that, no.
Who composed it?
That's just in the Vedic literatures. That's an ancient verse in the Vedic literatures. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Taya Cha Jagadataya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. But Dwaitacharya recited that verse in reference to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Also, you were mentioning his bed and good sons. So, somebody said that this Chaitananda afterwards he deviated.
Acyutananda didn't deviate. No.
Some good sons didn't deviate.
No. The good son actually was considered that the sons were the word used in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is asara, which means useless sons. And Prabhupada also talks about that in relationship to disciples. He says some disciples are useless, some are useful. And he referred to specifically some of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who disobeyed the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to make a GBC and govern the Gaudiya Math in a cooperative fashion. He said because they disobeyed that order, they became asara. You understand? Asara. That's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita too. They became asara or useless, or, you know, didn't have the potency to spread Krishna consciousness. Whereas because Srila Prabhupada followed the order of his guru, he was sara. Sara means useful. A real disciple. A real disciple is one who is disciplined by the guru. That's what the word disciple means. Shishya comes from shastatu, which means basically to be disciplined. So there's shastra and shastra. One can be disciplined by the books, the shastra, and if one doesn't accept the discipline of the books, then guess what happens? There's the shastra, or the stick. Anyway, so Advaitacharya rejected these sons, even though they were his sons. I mean, that's pretty heavy. I don't know if anyone, of course none of you here are parents, so you don't know. It's very heavy for a lady or a man to reject their child. It's very heavy because it's like, for a mother especially, and that means Sitadevi had to reject her children too. That's perhaps one of the heaviest things, because the closest thing to pure love in this world is the love a mother has for her children. That's the closest thing to unalloyed love. And even in the Braj pastimes, it says that Mother Yashoda has more love than Nanda Maharaj for Krishna. That's how deep it is. So Advaitacharya actually rejected three of the sons that he brought up because they refused to take up pure devotional service. Interesting, isn't it? So also it says that one should reject disciples if they become rascals. I remember His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, if a disciple would deviate from devotional service, he would take away their spiritual name. It was very heavy. I don't know if any of you remember this. He would tell them, your name is no longer Krishnadas, it's Joe. And then I had one of my disciples who left the movement for some time. He became a little rascal. Actually, even. It was just for a few days. Anyway, so he left, and then somehow or other I went to his house and saved him. I went there and just like said, you're coming with me. I took him away while his parents were crying and everything like that. And so on the way back, we stopped to see Bhaktivedanta Maharaj in Washington, D.C. And Bhaktivedanta Maharaj looked at him and he said, if you were my disciple, I would have rejected you. I would have given you your material name back. Yeah, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? I mean, if I did that with my disciples, whew.
Maharaj.
Yeah.
I heard that Maharaj did that only in extreme situations when one would become offensive.
No, he did it in other, when people actually smoked or broke the principles. Prabhupada only did it in extreme situations. But Bhaktivedanta Maharaj did it when people were fallen. You know, broke the principles. In a gross way, obviously. No, it wasn't only when people were offensive. He really insisted that people take reinitiation again. You know, if they came back, they had to get initiated again. Go through the whole process. He was very heavy with people. Anyway, he said that to my disciple, and he said, you know, if you were my disciple, I would have given you your material name back again. And he had just gone away for several days. And I had to go and rescue him. It was an interesting story. This devotee, I won't mention his name because I don't want to give anyone a bad name. But this devotee, I went into the, he was a brahmachari. I went into the brahmachari ashram and I found his sika on his pillow. You know, and he had cut off his sika. And there was a note there, "Don't try to find me, you never will." So it took me about an hour to find out where he was. I had to find out. I called one of his friends, one of his material friends, and found out that this friend had put him on a train and, you know, he was going home. So then, yeah, it took me about an hour. And then, oh yeah, it was actually very tricky. I said, actually, I'm going to New York. I'm going to drive to New York and I'm going to stop by and see you on the way. Actually, I wasn't going to New York. So anyway, so I drove up, got him in the car, and he said, "Aren't we going to New York?" I said, "Oh, I changed my plans." And then his mother was crying. It was a whole scene. His mother was crying. "How can you take my son away?" His father was crying.
I didn't have to
I just told him, "You're getting in the car." He was shocked to see me. Anyway.
And he came in the car.
He came with me, yeah.
But that's a glorious, you can mention his name.
He's a good devotee.
That's a glorious thing.
He's a good devotee, yeah.
It's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went with Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. Like when he went with the Bhattaharis, yes. In South India. But it's interesting, you know.
You didn't pull him back here?
No, I didn't pull him back here.
He didn't have it.
He had already cut off his sika. So. Can you imagine that, going into the brahmachari ashram and finding a sika on someone's pillow and saying, "You know, you'll never find me." It's terrible. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
Adita Sharma in Vrindavan, can you say something about it? This, you know, this deity.
Oh yeah, yeah, Madan. Madan Gopal, yeah, that's an interesting story. I forgot about that one. That Advaitacharya, he was actually the one who found Madan Mohan originally. And, this is before Sanatana Goswami got Madan Mohan. So he found Madan Gopal, he was known at that time. And gave him to, he was being taken care of. He gave him to a Brahmin family in Mathura, Chobe Brahmin family. Anyway, so that's the story. He had a dream and Madan Gopal, he found Madan Gopal. He was known as Madan Gopal then. Later on, Sanatana Goswami went to Mathura and he saw Madan Gopal in the house of this Brahmin family. And the Brahmin family was actually treating Madan Gopal like one of their sons. So he was sitting at the dinner table with the sons and everything like that. And he was also playing, you know, put the deity out and he was playing some sort of game with the children. And when Sanatana Goswami saw that, he said, "This is not the way to worship the deity." Put him on an altar. Then the next night, Sanatana Goswami had this dream. And Madan Gopal appeared to him in the dream and said, "Why did you spoil all my fun? I was enjoying. Now you should take me." And so Sanatana Goswami thought, you know, how can I take you? I have no facility for worshiping you. But then the next morning, this Brahmin had a dream that Madan Gopal told him to take him to Sanatana Goswami. And so for a long time, Sanatana Goswami had to have Madan Gopal, who became Madan Mohan, hanging from the tree, and he was just offering him some dried bread balls that were cooked in the sun. Anyway, so that's the story of Madan Gopal, who was found by Advaitacharya and given to the Brahmin, the Chobe Brahmin family in Mathura. So, any other stories?
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
I was thinking, is there information what Advaita Acharya was doing in Vrindavan, what he was doing in Vrindavan, how he was spending his time?
Yeah, in the Advaita Prakash there's more information. I mean, there's actually a lot of biographies about Advaita Acharya, specifically one called the Advaita Prakash. Usually these stories like the Bhaktivedanta and the Advaita Prakash are not actually accurate insofar as the historical information is concerned. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the Bhaktivedanta, which I quote quite a few times, is not historically accurate, but it's accurate insofar as the Siddhanta is concerned. Which is interesting, because in the Western concept of historicity, we think in terms of, you know, being very accurate in terms of the details. Like when you were young, maybe you studied like Columbus. Did you ever study about Columbus?
Mm-hmm.
Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
And then you learn about Magellan. Remember Magellan?
Yeah.
He was the first one to circumambulate.
He was actually first.
Around the world, yeah. He went around the world. So anyway, so you learn all these different details, and also you have to, when you go to school, at least I have to learn all these different dates too, right? And they would test you, you know, what year did so-and-so do this, what year did so-and-so. But the Vedic historicity is not like that. You know, the details are not important. The essence, or what's called the Siddhanta, is the important thing. So many of these histories, like the Bhakti Ratnakara, Advaita Prakash, Prema Vilas, Nityananda Vilas, they're not actually accurate insofar as the stories. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. But they're accurate in terms of the philosophical understanding of what the position of the individual is. Do you understand that? Siddhanta.
Yeah.
Siddhanta is more important than detail. Whereas in the West, detail is more important than Siddhanta. I mean, about Columbus, Christopher Columbus, you never talk about Siddhanta, whatever the Siddhanta is, or Magellan. You just talk about the details. So, but who cares? I mean, how important is it to learn the date of 1492, is it?
I know, but how important
is it to know when Columbus sailed to America? And Columbus, he was just a jerk anyway. He died from venereal disease. Do you know that? You didn't know that?
No, I didn't.
So what?
Did teach us that in school?
I know, they were. You understand? Because he just like couldn't control his senses when he went to the West. You know, he had some sort of relationship with all the Indians there or something like that. So here's the history of Malechas, of dogs. And you really never even talk about how they were dogs, which is the Siddhanta. The Siddhanta would be Christopher Columbus was a dog. He's a Malecha dog. That's a Siddhanta. But you never talk about that, do you? All he was interested in was, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. I mean, why did he want to go to the West?
To do these things. Better.
Well, to make money.
Yeah.
Actually, he wanted to go to India to find the Western rug to India so that they could buy spices and bring them back and make money. It was all based on money. Isn't it? I mean, he didn't go because he just like had this desire to explore the world and see God or anything like that. He wanted to make money.
So he ran a man from Spain, right?
Was it Portugal or Spain? Spain.
Spain,
yeah.
They didn't have maps, right?
They didn't have maps, but they could navigate to go west by the stars. They had this thing called the sextant, you know, in a sense.
Yes.
Where they could take a sight on the sun or a sight on the moon or the stars actually.
Because America's opposite from India.
That's right. Didn't know there's like
new. No, but he thought the world was round.
Oh, he wanted just to make a.
Yeah, but he didn't know there was something in between. In between Europe and India. He thought it was going to be quicker to go the other way. Because to go to India, going the eastern way was very difficult because you had to go around the tip of Africa. And that was very, very dangerous. So he wanted to find, they didn't have the Suez Canal at that time. You understand the Suez Canal? And so he wanted to find another route, so he didn't know that there was something in between Europe and India, going through the western route. And obviously, it was a North American, South American, they didn't have the Panama Canal, so we couldn't go through there either. And so then that's why when he came to America, actually landed in Santo Domingo, not the mainland of America. When he came there, he called the natives Indians.
Where he came? No, where's Santo Domingo?
Santo Domingo, he landed. The first voyage. But then he called the people there Indians. And that's why in America, the Indians are called Indians. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Why? Because he went for India.
He thought it was India.
Oh.
Yeah, otherwise, what is the use of the Spain Indians,
Yeah, that's why he called them Indians, because. So you have the American Indians and the Indian, or the Red Indians, and the Indians in India. So that's why they became Indians.
And creation is different. You know, we have difference in the word.
Different word for
when
the
you
American.
You say Indian, American Indian, although it sounds similar.
Yeah.
And we have that Inditi is real Indians, and Indianti is like American.
American Indians. But that's why they're called Indian. You still have the similar word. So then what, anyway, but what's the use? Some Malecha decided to do this. I mean, what is the use of understanding that history? I mean, Siddhanta is good, but the details are really not that important. You know, to learn when Genghis Khan, I don't even know the date that Genghis Khan did his stuff. And anyway. And then, of course, you probably learned when the Turks invaded. Right? You learned about Turkish history, right?
Sure. Croatia was the last country.
Yeah. So I'm sure you learned about, but I never learned about Turkish history. Because America was never invaded by the Turks. Or the Moors. Okay. So anyway, so we're going to leave at... Yeah.
It happens that disciple leaves his spiritual master.
Yeah.
In his next life, does he get a chance to...
Change?
To meet again.
The spiritual master?
Yes.
Does he have to? The question is, does he have to, or does the guru come to save him?
Yeah.
It depends. If he's offensive, no. Then he breaks the relationship. But if someone just falls due to weakness, then the guru either comes or he sends someone. Like in the case of Bilba Mangal Thakur, the guru sent this prostitute. Actually, she was a girlfriend. Anyway, like Prabhupada said, what you call girlfriends in the West, we call prostitutes in India. Anyway, so Chintamani, you know the story of Chintamani. So the guru didn't come directly, but he sent Chintamani. To speak through her mouth, the guru's words came. And the guru's words were, if you had as much love for Krishna as you had for me, Bilba Mangal, you'd be a pure devotee by now. And he said, yes, you're right. And then he left. And he glorifies her. And his writings as, you know, as someone who showed him the path of devotional service. Yeah, so the guru comes or he sends someone. If someone's not offensive. If someone's offensive, then that's it. He breaks the relationship with the guru. Offensive to the guru or offensive to another Vaishnava. Or Vaishnavas in general. Okay? So we better get ready to go. We're going to leave at 9:00.